It's our SME special feature, and today we speak to an entrepreneur who's trying to make smartphone technology and data more accessible to South Africans. He recently launched Gussie Mobile, that's on the 1st of June, an anytime data offering in the townships, and this follows his launching the Libra smartphone last year, again for accessibility to clients in the townships and rural areas. He's also a previous Young Entrepreneur of the Year winner of the Standard Bank Tshwane Business Awards. Well, to tell us more about his entrepreneurial journey, I'm joined on the line by Lebogang Mokubela. He's the CEO of the Lemok Group. Thanks very much for joining us, Lebogang. So you launched the smartphone and data businesses within a year of each other. Just tell us about the value proposition of both and the market you designed them for.
Okay, so with our smartphone is basically positioned within the budget category. So these are smartphones that are less than 6,000 rand. Our positioning in that sense, or the value proposition rather, is paying budget level pricing, but getting premium specs on the phones. For example, our first device came standard with 128 gigs of storage while selling at 3,000 rand. So our value proposition in terms of the phone is within that budget category, giving premium specs. So giving you the premium performance, basically, but paying for budget level pricing. And then with our Gussie Mobile data, the positioning there is around, our primary market is the township and rural areas.
Yes.
The main thing for us is specifically within the youth category, because we want to make sure that there's internet accessibility for young people, in particularly townships and rural.
Yes.
Because obviously the access to the internet exposes you to a lot of opportunities, and we want to be able to be in the forefront of allowing young people in townships to be able to capitalize on opportunities that the digital world basically presents.
Excellent.
So that's the primary market with the SIM card, but it's not limited to townships. As long as you have coverage, it literally works, but our primary market is township and rural.
Okay. So what kind of demand have you had for the Libra smartphone, and what went into developing a smartphone? What partners did you have to work with in order to make this happen?
So our first device, we actually partnered with a Chinese company purely on a basis of economies of scale. We did not really have a lot of startup capital, so we basically self-funded in the beginning.
Yes.
So it was cheaper basically to produce in China. So we had to partner with a factory in China to produce the first device. We launched on the 18th of December using our online store. We sold out within 26 hours of launching. We basically did five productions of the phone ever since, and we sold out every time we did the production. Now the phone is discontinued because now we're working on the Libra 5 Pro, which is our new model, and that model we'll be producing in South Africa.
When is that model coming on stream? When are you going to deliver it to the market?
So literally we're just waiting for regulations to allow us to start manufacturing. So from where we're standing, we anticipate at the most during Black Friday.
So on the data front, do you partner with one of the established telcos? How does that work?
Yeah, so our main vision with that is, number one, to be a fully independent MVNO. So not to be technical, but that basically means there's an independent network.
Yes.
That's just riding off an established player's infrastructure.
Right.
So with our current data deals, we're powered by Telkom and MTN. So we would basically utilize the infrastructure.
Right. So apart from earning a living, of course, what drove you to create services rather than going off and trying to work for someone?
I actually did work for someone. I started my first business fresh out of high school. After I matriculated in 2008, I started my first business. That closed down within a space of a year and a half. And I quickly realized that I didn't have the business acumen or the business understanding.
Right.
So I then went and got a job at a marketing agency in Fourways. That's actually where I got exposed to the whole electronics and mobile network environment, because some of the biggest clients were ATA before it was now Telkom Mobile.
Yes.
It was ATA, one of their biggest clients, and Lenovo South Africa, which produces electronics. So those were the clients that I was taking care of from a marketing perspective. So I worked and became director of that agency. And then I quit in 2014 to establish my own. What drove me was not necessarily the whole thing around making money and whatnot. What drove me was, for me, it was creative expression. I often felt trapped because now I have to ask someone else for permission
yes.
to do something.
Yeah.
And then often it comes with lockheads, although the CEO of the company ended up being my mentor, but we tend to lock heads on certain ideas, especially at that time, it was on a marketing perspective. I saw the future being in digital marketing.
Mm.
He still saw the future in brand activations. So I then quit. Then I established the first business as a digital marketing agency, which predominantly works with shopping centers and has been doing well, spending 5 years this year. And then the other division that came was the smartphone and the mobile network.
Yeah. You know, just drawing on your story, it's a very nice story indeed. Do you think that because everyone always says, oh, no, people shouldn't just work for people, they should become entrepreneurs. But just based on what you're saying, do you think it is a good idea to perhaps work for somebody first, get some experience, understand the know-how, and then try and do your own thing? Because like you say, you might be very good at doing the core, but you still need to understand the whole ecosystem of doing a business or running a business.
100%. So funny thing is, last night I had a meeting with my mentor, a 2-hour meeting, and we were discussing, and he was talking about exposure and how exposure is one of the greatest assets, because once a mind is exposed to something, it's very hard for you to go back.
Yes.
And he was actually correcting me, because apparently I did a live video on Facebook, which I don't remember. But in the live video, I was saying there are certain aspects of business that are easy. And he was correcting me to say it's easy for me because I've been exposed.
Yes.
And now, actually, when we talk about it now, I actually realize that for me to be able to start a mobile network, a smartphone, being a township entrepreneur, it's not necessarily because I'm clever or I'm gifted in some weird way. It is purely because I got first-hand experience and first-hand exposure into both environments, especially being mentored by someone who was running a multi-million company. So I got exposed to, from a sales perspective, running a business operations, how to set up the whole infrastructure of our transit business, essentially. So for me, it is quite important to have first-hand experience. I think the whole conversation around entrepreneurship in South Africa is a good conversation, but it's not a complete conversation.
Mm.
A lot of things that we need to plug in, and that's why you find a lot of young people rushing to go into entrepreneurship and only to fail later on.
Yes.
And that's why we have these statistics that the average business doesn't last more than 3 years and things like that. For me, it's not a reflection of the entrepreneurial caliber of our country. It's purely because people are not exposed to the inner workings of industries.
Indeed. So this COVID-19 situation has created a lot of economic problems, but depending on your mindset, one could also identify opportunities. Do you tend to see opportunities in moments of crisis?
100%. Funny thing, Stasi Mobile was only supposed to be launched next year. We accelerated plans purely because we saw with COVID-19, everyone was sitting at home Netflixing. And we saw that, okay, now we need to accelerate our plan. So we may not be 100% ready, but the 85% that we're ready, we launch with it and we'll improve along the way. And that's what we did.
Wow.
Even with our smartphone to manufacture in South Africa, to be honest, we call that project 2030. That was our 10-year target. But now having to manufacture in China, and the first lockdown was in China, then it was passed.
Mm.
So from mid-Feb until the end of March, we could not sell anything because we did not have stock.
Yes.
And that was a wake-up call for me to say that, you know, you're literally being held at ransom here. And so I had to actually accelerate our plans to manufacture in the country, although it's not at the desired quantity that I'd want.
Yes.
But at least it's a step towards that. So there are quite a lot of opportunities. I met a young guy in Ivory, who's from Ivory Park a few weeks ago. He created his own sneaker brand. He started with 300 units and is now selling 10,000 units, moving into a bigger warehouse, all during lockdown.
Mm.
So
these are great stories. Great stories indeed. Lastly, your smartphone and data businesses are relatively new, but what are you hoping is going to be the next step or the next mountain to climb for you as an entrepreneur going forward?
So the major thing with the smartphone is obviously getting into big retailers. That is, the distribution is the most important aspect for me now. And so we're going into, once we finish producing the first set of of samples of the new device. We're going into retailers to pitch our products so it can be positioned in those stores. With the mobile network, our aim is to get to 500,000 activated SIM cards, and that will propel us to start conversations in becoming a fully independent network, because we would have the database for it. So our plans are very clear. We know what we're aiming for and what we're working towards.
That was Lebogang Mokubela. He's the CEO of the Lemok Group.